I will now invite Pastor Ed to present to us today's sermon, Praying for the Wisdom in Trials.
This past Friday, it was our privilege to join the seniors and to have their fellowship lunch. And it's at times like that when I am glad that I'm a senior, because it was most blessed fellowship and it was very good food. So we enjoyed being there. I want to thank Deacon Boone and his wife for helping to organize all this. And I don't know if I'll be here next year at this time or not, but I must say we certainly enjoyed the fellowship very much, and it's times like that when I'm glad I'm a senior. So I have been for a while now, and you can tell by the fact that I'm sitting down instead of standing up that the senior's catching up with me. Not only that, my one hearing aid has given up the ghost, I think, and I'll be seeing the hearing aid people tomorrow, and hopefully we get all that taken care of. But if I don't reply to you, speak in my left ear, because that's better today than my right ear. So, but thank God that we can be here with you all. And you know, when you think of these things, they're kind of problems, we might call them trials, and every person faces regular trials. You know, you see it at home, within the family. There may be a generation gap between parents and children. You see some of that happening there. You notice trials and problems at work. People that want to take over your job and they're backstabbing you and doing all kind of other things to you. You might see trials in university or school. I know some have finished their studies already for the year, but you may notice that some students are cheating in their exams, and you're saying, I'm a Christian, I don't do that. So it causes trials and it causes conflict. You know, you might even have problems and trials when you drive your car. You know, you have people causing road rage. And lately I've noticed on the news there have been several very bad cases of road rage. So you see all these different problems. So we see the various trials or difficulties. The word trial is something troublesome, something unpainful experience. It could be a test. You know, various definitions there. Now, we've already looked a little bit at that. The last time I spoke was on the first four verses, particularly verses 2, 3, and 4 in the book of James, where we read that count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations or various testings or trials. And these testings or trials of our faith, produce patience, which in turn leads to perfection. Now, perfection, not sinlessly perfect, but rather a spiritual maturity. Trials come to test our faith and to purify and strengthen us. But how do we learn to handle these trials? And James actually gives us the answer as he continues on from verse 4 to verses 5, 6, and 7, because that's where he tells us the answer to that question. And the first thing that he mentions in verse 5, ask of God. Ask for wisdom. Now notice again the diplomatic way in which James introduces the subject of wisdom. He does not say, you know, most of you are ignorant. But rather, he says, paraphrased here, just in case you are lacking in this virtue, you should ask God for it. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. See, wisdom is more than knowledge. And that's one of the things. When you go to school, you get a lot of knowledge. But wisdom is the ability to use knowledge effectively, to apply knowledge. Wisdom is highly regarded in the Bible. And I can mention a number of verses there, such as Job 28, verse 18. The price of wisdom is above rubies. And Psalm 119:98, Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. And Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy understanding, get understanding. So we have need to get wisdom, to get understanding. And we might also notice Solomon in the Bible, in 1 Kings, particularly verse 3, or chapter 3. You know, King David has died, and King Solomon now comes in as the new king. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 3 that God said to Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. What do you want? Be famous? Have a lot of money? Ask what I shall give thee. And this is what Solomon said. Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? In other words, Solomon asked for wisdom. He did not ask for money. He didn't ask for many other things that he could have asked for. But he simply asked for wisdom. And we read in, again, the same passage there. And the speech pleased the Lord. The Lord was pleased that he asked for wisdom. So wisdom is very important. And that's something you and I need. We need wisdom. Now, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask of God is really a simple definition of prayer. Ask of God. Now, it is not wrong to consult man on some matters. You know, in Proverbs chapter 11, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And then in Proverbs 24, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. So, while it is not wrong to consult man on some matters, it is never wrong to consult the Lord. Even spiritual Christians may be wrong. But the Lord and His Word are never wrong. They are always right. So go to that Word of God. Read it. Memorize it. That's why it's good. Every week there's a memory verse. I don't know how long you remember. but at least you can repeat it on Sunday in church. But memorize the Word of God. That's one of the things I was grateful for when I studied at Bob Jones University. We had to memorize verses. I can remember one course that I took, we had to memorize 100 Bible verses. That's a lot of verses. So do I still know them? Well, I don't even remember which 100 I picked out. But it's good to memorize the Word of God. By the way, that was a 2-semester course. So first semester, 100 verses. Second semester, 100 verses. So that year, for just one course, I memorized 200 Bible verses. It's good to memorize the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. All right. So, we need wisdom. We need to ask of God. Because God is the great giver. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Liberally means generously. And God does not charge for his service. What he gives is free. Let me mention some of the things that God gives. First of all, he gave his son. We remember that, of course, at this time of the year, as reference was already made to the Christmas decorations. We remember that God gave his son. John 3:16, the verse that many of you would have memorized, I hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gift of God, everlasting life. What do you do with a gift? All right, somebody comes to you at Christmas and gives you a gift. What do? You receive it. Two hands, of course. And you say, thank you. Thank you very much. But have you ever thanked God for his gift of eternal life? We should. And if you haven't, thank God now. And if you have never come to believe on him, come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As it reads there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have never believed in him, come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you. He will give you eternal life. So, that's the thing. God gave his son. But not only did God give his son, I might have already given it here in the words everlasting life, but God gives eternal life. In Romans chapter 6, and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Remember, when you get a gift, you receive it, you say, thank you very much, but you don't say, oh, that's very nice, thank you. How much do I owe you? No, it's a gift. And for the recipient, the gift is free. That's why some people translate Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the word free is not in the original, but some have added that to indicate we do not pay for salvation. It is free. It's the gift of God. Not only does God give his Son, he gives eternal life, but he gives peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Peace. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Peace. Perfect peace. In Hebrew, that is an interesting expression, because the word perfect is not really there. But it says, peace, peace. So the word peace is repeated. Shalom, shalom. And in English translated, perfect peace. Because God gives peace. Not only that, God gives his word. We have the Holy Bible. God has given his word. In John chapter 17, verse 8, the great high priestly prayer of Jesus, for I have given unto them, and that them are his followers, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So John says, or quotes Jesus, for I have given unto my followers the words which thou gavest me. These are recorded in the Bible. Read them. Memorize them. Study them. Come to Bible study. Come to prayer meeting. Study these words of God. Hide them in your heart. Thank God for his word. Have you ever read through the whole Bible? You know, coming to the end of the year. A month from now, it'll be the 1st of January. If you've never done it, why don't you say, Lord, 2025, I'll read through the whole Bible. 3 chapters a day, 5 chapters on Sunday, that'll take you through the whole Bible. But read the whole Bible. If you've never done it, I challenge you. Say, Lord, with your help, in the new year, I will read through the Bible. It's God's word. It's not man's word. It's God's word. So God gave his word. And then God also gave his spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit, in John 14. And I will pray the Father, says Jesus, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells with us. Jesus says, I will pray the Father. Jesus prayed. If Jesus prayed, we certainly ought to pray. And he says, he, the Father, shall give you another comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ is a comforter, but he will give you another comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. And he will abide with you forever. So God has given a lot of things. You know, that's why we say, the first thing, ask for wisdom. Ask. And we pray. And God gives. God gives without grudging. God gives without complaint. He does not reprimand for past or present failures. You can come to him any time, day or night, just as often as you like. He gives unstintingly expecting no recompense. God gives. If any of you lack wisdom, let it ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. The promise at the end of verse 5 here is sure. It shall be given him. Notice also the promises on prayer in Matthew chapter 7. Deacon Colin referred to that earlier already. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let me stop here a moment. Now, I know I've mentioned this before. Some of you may remember this, but some of you are new, and you may not have heard this before. It only works in English. I don't know any other language in which it works. But if you take the three verbs, ask, seek, knock, take the first letters, A-S-K, that again spells ask. Ask, seek, knock, A-S-K, ask. Prayer is asking. So, everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you? Continue to read here in Matthew 7. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give a stone? Now you may wonder about that kind of thing. But some of the stones looked like a loaf of bread. Not a longish loaf of bread, but it's kind of like, almost like a bread roll. You know. And he also said, if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? And every time I read that, I'm reminded of something that happened 1959. I even remember the year. As a family, my parents, my sister, and I went on holiday, and my dad loved sailing, and my parents had rented a sailboat. We had gone two previous summers. We had a little cottage that they rented, and we made day trips by sailboat. But that time, they rented a larger boat where we could sleep on the boat. And for 3 weeks, we sailed through some of the lakes in the northern part of the Netherlands. And we did a lot of fishing. I remember trying to keep count as a young boy. I was about 15, 16 at the time. And caught more than 300 fish during that trip. But my father caught a snake. No, it was not a snake. It was an eel. So he received. All right. I was kind of taken aback. What did you catch? You know, see that long thing slithering down there. Yeah. We didn't eat it. We threw everything we threw back into the water. You know. But I remember. He asked. If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. If ye then, being evil, being a sinner, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? If we ask God for something good, he will give it. You know, note Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom. So if you need wisdom, ask of God. Whatever trials you're faced with, ask of God. And it shall be given you. But, there's a big but there. We are to ask in faith. See, the promises of verse 5 are absolutely null and void if not accompanied with faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So the promises of verse 5 are absolutely null and void if not accompanied with faith. Just as the wave of the sea fell one way and then another way, it accomplishes nothing. So is one who asks in unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews, the great chapter on faith, chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must have faith. But our faith must be in God, not in anybody else, not in anything else. Our faith must be in God. And only his children can call him God, can rightly call him God. You know, some of you have children in Sunday school, and if one of them would come afterwards, come up to me instead of saying Pastor Ed or Uncle Ed, as some of them used to call me, say, Dad, Father, I'm not your father. Only children can call God Father. So when we come to God, only children can really call him Father. If you're not a Christian, God is not your father. Jesus says of the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. But God is our father only if we believe in him, if we are saved through the precious blood of Christ. But if you are his child, then you can call him. You can call in faith. Now, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That word wavering can also be translated as doubting. It is certainly foolish to ask for something you do not expect to get. And it is dishonoring to the Lord. Waves are active, but purposeless, apparently accomplishing nothing. How like a Christian who asks but doubts that he will receive. You pray, Lord, give me wisdom. But you'll never do it. No. Have faith. Because it says, for let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Who is the man who need not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord? It's the man who asks of God, but does not expect him to give. So ask in faith, believing that God will hear your prayer and that he will answer you. I'm not sure how many of you have heard of James Montgomery Boyce. Boyce was the pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. He's passed away. He developed cancer, and after a short struggle with cancer, he passed away. But Boyce has written some very fine commentaries, and he tells a story about Lawrence of Arabia. Now, that's a name that some of you may have heard, Lawrence of Arabia. His full name was Thomas Edward Lawrence. Lawrence was his surname. He was born in 1888 and died in 1935. But Lawrence of Arabia visited Paris after the First World War, not by himself, but with some Arab friends. And he showed them around Paris. I've never been in Paris. Probably never will in this life. But he showed them, no doubt, the Eiffel Tower which had been around the Arc of Triumph. You know, but what fascinated these Arab friends the most was in their hotel room, in their bathroom, the faucets. They spent hours and hours turning the faucets on and off, on and off. They thought it was wonderful. All they had to do was turn a handle, and they got all the water they wanted. And when the time came to leave, boy said, Lawrence of Arabia was there with his friends. And he found them dismantling, or trying to dismantle, the faucets. And they told Lawrence, what we need in Arabia are faucets. If we have them, we will have all the water we want. And Lawrence had to explain to them that the faucets are connected to the pipes. And if it was not connected to the pipeline, there would be no water. They could take all the faucets back to Arabia, but they wouldn't get any water out of it. Now let me assure you of something. There is a pipeline of power for us Christians. Do you need wisdom? It is available through prayer. When we face our trials, when we face our testings, when we face our difficulties, let us bring them to God in prayer, and let us pray in faith, believing that God hears us and that God will answer us according to His perfect will. That's it. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God and ask in faith. That's it. Very simple. Very profound. But something that we need to remember. Asking God. Praying for wisdom in trials. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that there is a pipeline of power. We need wisdom, Lord, and we thank Thee that it is available through prayer. Lord, whenever we face our trials, whenever we face our difficulties, let us bring them to Thee in prayer, praying in faith, believing and knowing that Thou dost hear us, and Thou wilt answer us according to Thy perfect will. We thank Thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.